Hey everyone, I'm Chris Saliza, CNN Politics Editor-at-Large and host of CNN's new podcast, Downside Up. This is the CNN Political Briefing. Here's what you need to know in politics for Wednesday, November 30th. It's a very busy day for Congress as lawmakers continue to check down their to-do list and House Democrats pick their next leader. History was made today when Democrats chose Congressman Hakeem Jeffries of New York to take over for Nancy Pelosi as the top House Democrat. Jeffries is the first black person to lead a party in either chamber of Congress. At a news conference after winning the election, he said Democrats will seek to find common ground with Republicans.
House Democrats fight for the people. That's our story. That's our legacy. That's our values. That's our commitment as we move forward. Get stuff done. Make life better for everyday Americans.
Jeffries ran unopposed as leader, with Massachusetts Rep. Catherine Clark, who was appointed whip, and California Rep. Pete Aguilar, who was appointed the number three Democrat. Since Republicans will control the House, Jeffries, Clark, and Aguilar will all lead in a Democratic minority, the first in two terms. This all comes after Nancy Pelosi, House Majority Leader Steny Hoyer, and House Majority Whip Jim Clyburn all announced they would step down earlier this month, but still serve in Congress. At 52, Jeffries will represent a generational change. He's three decades younger than the current serving trio. He said having Pelosi and Hoyer as rank-and-file members was a quote-unquote incredible blessing. And on Tuesday night, Jeffries offered a resolution to designate Pelosi as Speaker Emerita, an honorary title for her. She was unanimously confirmed. As for Republican House leadership, it's not going to be easy for GOP leader Kevin McCarthy to secure the speakership. He needs the majority of the House to vote for him, 218 votes, and Republicans are only expected to hold 222 House seats, which means he won't have much room for error. On Tuesday, he expressed confidence that he would eventually get the votes, even if they need to go through multiple rounds of voting on the House floor.
We have a five-seat majority. We're all going to have to work together. No five people can determine anything. So what we're going to have to do between now and that time is find how we all work together for the benefit of America.
But five House Republicans have already said they plan to vote against McCarthy. That includes Congressman Ralph Norman, Andy Biggs, Matt Gaetz, Matt Rosendale, and Bob Good. And if McCarthy isn't able to change at least one of their minds, that would put him at 217, one short of the number he needs. However, there is a way for McCarthy to secure the speaker's role without that magic 218 number. If some lawmakers vote present during the floor vote, that means they're no longer considered in the total tally, meaning the majority and the number McCarthy would need would be a lower number. Now on to legislative business Congress is up to. The U.S. is one step closer to averting a freight railroad strike that President Joe Biden warned could devastate the economy. Biden urged Congress to step in and act after unions and industry leaders failed to agree on a labor deal his administration helped negotiate back in September. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Republican Congressman Sam Graves shared why the stakes are high before the vote took place.
Today, we are here to safeguard the financial security of America's families, to protect American economy as it continues to recover, and avert a devastating nationwide rail shutdown.
Today, we're here because of a failure by the Biden administration to prevent a rail labor strike, and it's unfortunate. We need Congress to act quickly to avoid, obviously, a catastrophic economic disaster.
Pelosi blamed the railroad industry, while Graves blamed the Biden administration. But nonetheless,
on this vote, the yeas are 290, the nays are 137, the joint resolution is passed.
The House passed legislation on a pretty bipartisan basis to keep rail workers on the job. 79 Republicans joined Democrats in voting for the bill, with 8 Democrats voting against it. This bill was the deal the unions and labor leaders rejected that included a 24% pay increase, better health benefits, and more. Then, the House held a second vote.
On this vote, the yeas are 221 and the nays are 207. Without objection, the motion to reconsider is laid on the table.
Lawmakers approved adding to the bill a paid sick leave provision the unions had been pushing for. The president of one of those unions who rejected the labor deal told CNN the rail unions have tried to get paid sick leave for 40 years.
Really, it comes down to simple things like the flu for a day or two or a sick child and the ability to take a day or two paid when you have to deal with these issues that life brings that you have no control over.
This provision was added using an arcane procedure to appease the progressives who threatened to scuttle the deal if it wasn't added. In a statement, President Biden praised members of the House for taking steps to avoid a rail shutdown and called on the Senate to act urgently. And because the House passed it the way it did, the Senate can now vote on the original measure without paid leave, without having to send it back to the House for another vote. It can go straight to Biden's desk after the Senate's done with it. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer told CNN he's working with Leader Mitch McConnell to get it done quickly and, quote, be as helpful to the workers as we can be. Both the Democratic and Republican whips in the Senate said they believe they have the votes to pass a rail measure, but Dick Durbin and John Thune were skeptical about the fate of the paid leave amendment. Senator Bernie Sanders is one of those progressives who want to guarantee these rail workers paid sick leave, essentially putting part of the blame on corporate greed.
Interestingly enough, it turns out that guaranteeing 7 paid sick days to rail workers would cost the industry a grand total of $321 million a year, a tiny fraction of the $21 billion in profits that they have already made.
Biden said he is sympathetic to the union's demands, even saying things like this.
You know, you've heard me say many times, I intend to be the most pro-union president, leading the most pro-union administration in American history.
But he said a rail strike would cause too much economic damage and must be avoided. Meanwhile, the Senate achieved a major milestone last night, passing a bill to protect same-sex and interracial marriage. The Senate passed the Respect for Marriage Act in a bipartisan vote of 61 to 36. That 61 count includes all Democratic senators and 12 Republicans, the same dozen who supported the procedural vote. Senator Kyrsten Sinema teared up after the Senate's vote.
And what I'm really proud of today is that we were able to send a message across the country that this is normal. These families are normal. These marriages are normal. And I can't wait for people all across the country to be able to talk to their children and their children's children about the time in America when we made it completely normal for families to be together and love each other and take care of each other.
What's next? The House has to approve the legislation, which it's expected to do before the end of the year. From there, it'll head to Biden's desk to be signed into law. Though the bill doesn't set a national requirement that all states have to legalize same-sex marriage, it would require individual states to recognize another state's legal marriage. As we've talked about before, this was one of Democrats' main goals for the lame duck session. But they still have quite a bit left on their to-do list before the holidays, including funding the government and potentially raising the debt ceiling. Plus, the January 6th House Committee is scheduled to have a key meeting on Friday to discuss its final report and whether they'll make any criminal referrals to the Justice Department. Remember, that committee is also on a tough deadline to finish its work before Republicans take over the House in January. So we'll be watching to see what Democrats can accomplish in the limited time they have left. That's it for today's Political Briefing. Thanks so much for listening. And please take a moment and be sure to follow us wherever you get your podcasts. We'll talk to you tomorrow.